Hello, everyone, and welcome to the All Things Bible Podcast. Today on the show, we are going to start Romans chapter 5, so let's get right into it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 starts out with the NIV version with the word therefore. In this letter especially, these linking words, as we call them, these therefores, these buts, they are very important to the structure of the letter itself. And so whenever we see these words, we have to pause and pay attention to what came before it and what's about to come after it. So this word therefore here at the beginning of chapter 5 connects chapters 2 through 4, and then it's going to connect 5 through 7 together through this link here. And as we talked about chapters 2 through 4 previously on podcast episodes, the big focus was that the law does not lead to righteousness with God. Faith is what leads to righteousness. We live by faith, just as Abraham did. And that's going to connect us with chapters 5, 6, and 7 here, where we talk about having peace with God, but we also talk about this struggle that followers of Jesus have between doing what is right and what is wrong, and the struggle we call sin. Even though that's happening, we can still have peace with God because of what Jesus did through the Holy Spirit. And so that word there connects those two thoughts together here through these two sections. So we're going to read the first five verses together, and we're going to talk about that. So Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And so again, we talked about this connection that chapters 2 through 4 have with these chapters 5 through 7. But what we see in these first couple of verses is that through faith in Jesus Christ, we receive grace. We receive this grace from God. And he talks about what this grace is. This grace allows us to rejoice in the hope of God. This hope of salvation that we can have. And it also brings rejoicing through our sufferings, through our trials, and through our temptations that come our way in this Christian walk. So the question is, why? Why does all of this matter? Why should we rejoice in our sufferings? And Paul tells us here, because there's a process that happens, a natural process that takes place when we go through these sufferings and we rejoice through them. And that is that when we go through these trials and temptations, it produces in us a perseverance and endurance to get through it. Not to escape the trials and temptations, but to allow us to endure it. And this also produces character. It becomes a part of naturally who we are as we go along and start to rejoice that we and endure these sufferings. And of course, eventually, that the way that our minds are transformed by the Spirit, it eventually becomes our hope that one day we will inherit this eternal life that God has called us to. And it's all because of God's grace. And so the whole point here is that hope doesn't disappoint us. It does not disappoint us because we have the Holy Spirit that is within us, that was given to us, and it's that seal of our salvation. So I think that's kind of the point there of these first five verses. So now in verses 6 through 8, Paul's going to give us an idea of what exactly this grace looked like in terms of what Jesus did. So verses 6 through 8 say this: You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so the whole point here is that Christ died for us while we were against him. Paul really tries to make that contrast clear. He didn't sacrifice himself because he knew we would always love him or that we even did love him at that time. We were powerless. We had no influence, no stature. We had nothing in terms of the kingdom of God, and Christ still died for us. And sometimes verse 7 can be a little bit confusing, where Paul writes that, you know, it very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might dare to die. And you may think, well, why would someone die for a good person, but not a righteous person? And here's the whole point. We weren't even considered good when Jesus still went to the cross. That's what Paul's trying to make here. We weren't even a good person, let alone trying to be a righteous person, someone that was in right standing with God. So we were nowhere even near the mark of being righteous with God, and yet Jesus still did what he did for us on the cross. That's the very powerful point I think that Paul's trying to make here. And we see three elements here of what Jesus did for us. He did it at the right time. It wasn't too early. He didn't come too late in the game. It was at just the right time. We were powerless. We had no influence, game per se in the kingdom of God. We had no right standing, and we were ungodly. We were even against him. It wasn't like we're just, well, we're kind of on the fence, because with God, we're either for him or against him, and we were against him. And so those three things combined really give us a awesome and clear picture of what the grace of God looks like through Jesus Christ. And I think that's the point Paul is trying to make here as well. So as we finish up this little section, verses 9 through 11, we get into some bigger biblical terms that we might run into here. So starting with verse 9, Paul says, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So two big terms we see in here is justified and reconciled. We are justified by the blood of Jesus. That is, we are made in right standing, even if... technically we are not, but we were made justified because of the shed blood of Jesus. And then we see that we were reconciled, which is a bringing back to him. So we were made right, but we were also brought back to him. We were reconciled through his death. And both of those two terms work together to say that we are saved, right? We are saved by the blood and the death of Jesus Christ. And Paul's point here, especially verse 10, if we were God's enemies when we were brought back to him. We were enemies when Jesus died. And so because we've been brought back to them, of course, we are going to be saved that much more because of the resurrection of Jesus and the life that we now share in him. And we can boast about that. We can rejoice because of what Jesus did. And because that now we can truly have peace with God, which is what he started out this section by saying. We've been justified through our faith, And that was all made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I really like to call this section All Because of Jesus. Because as Paul works his way through this section, he points to everything Christ did and everything that happens in our process of being brought back to him through our faith. And everything points back to the cross, and it points back to that empty tomb. And I think that's the beauty that Paul is trying to share here of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5, and we will finish the rest of chapter 5 next time. So thank you for listening. God bless.